Thank you, Brother Brian. Well, the subject before us is Daniel chapter 2. It's certainly a familiar one, and what we'd like to do is do Daniel chapter 2 in two sections. This evening we'll consider the image, and we'll consider part of the interpretation of what that image represents. And tomorrow, during the memorial service, we'll consider the latter part of the chapter and bring us to the latter days, the days that we're looking forward to with the return of Christ. And that image will symbolically stand and be destroyed by the stone power of Christ. So what we're going to do now is look at the vision of the image. And as Brian was reading that, Brother Brian was reading that, I'm sure the verses are familiar to you. And I don't know if you can recall the very first time that you've read that chapter, but I can vividly recall learning about Daniel chapter 2 when I was learning the truth. Well, we have what is known as a technical consideration. Let me see if my spine killer is holding things up here. See what's holding things up. There we go. All right. This is a quote. Prophecy is like a light. And there are lots of verses that we could choose, but here's a starter verse for us, a good one to begin with. We have also a more sure. Another word besides sure to think about is confirmed. We have a more confirmed word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now, what I've done, I have verses and PowerPoint, but I want to encourage you to open your Bibles. I don't think I need to encourage this group to open their Bibles, but I'm not going to be flipping pages as my Bible is relying on the screen, but I encourage you, of course, to do that. We want to now look at Daniel 2 and some of the verses in here. We know that Daniel had this dream. And it says, the first verse, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, not Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And we can put ourselves in the position of those, quote, wise men. And as we will find out, Nebuchadnezzar saw those wise men for who they are. As we do, we see the wise men of the world for who they are, and Yahweh sees them for what they are. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we shall show the interpretation. Tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the But the king demands to be told his dream. That's a hard thing to do. The king says, tell me my dream. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. Well, The Revised Version translates that the word is gone from me. This is what Brother Mansfield has to say on that subject. He has not forgotten the dream. He is referring to the decree that he issued. So he hadn't forgotten the dream. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretations thereof, ye shall be pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. That's a pretty dramatic thing to say. Now remember, this is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and whatever he says goes. People tremble before his very presence. They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation thereof." Seems like a reasonable request. But the king knows his wise men are not wise at all. He knows they're liars. He knows they are corrupt. The king answered and said, "I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me." But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. Now we know what the world, the wisdom of the world is, but this is an unusual thing for the king of Babylon to recognize in his own magicians, his own wise men, his own counselors, that they are liars and that they are corrupt. So the king decrees to kill the wise men, the magicians. Should put wise in quotes. So in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter." And that's true. There was not a man upon the earth. You know, we know that it was not Daniel's wisdom that provided the interpretation or the dream. We know where the wisdom came from and the knowledge came from. "Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." Well, there is indeed not any dwelling with flesh that could do it. So Daniel is to be among those who killed as well. Not only Daniel, but the friends of Daniel are included among these wise of Babylon. So Daniel is to be killed also. "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree made so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel." So Daniel makes an inquiry and finds out the answer. It's a reasonable thing to do. So Daniel and his friends pray. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he should give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, Daniel did not go before the king without sure knowledge that the God of heaven, Yahweh, would provide the needed information. He had that assurance. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. They prayed. Daniel praises the God of heaven, verse 19. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." The only true wisdom from above, we know, comes from God and His word of truth. And He changed the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He changes times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Awesome, awesome power. So Daniel appears before Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." That's obvious. They cannot do it. So who can? But there is a God that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king what shall be in the latter days. Now notice the word latter days. We'll have more to say about that tomorrow. We're talking about our time. What shall be known in the latter days? The dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. So, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what shall come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth a secret maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. God reveals the future to him as an image. So we know that great image that we've seen different pictures of. I want to just pause just at this time because I want to acknowledge a few sources. I got some slides from Brother Chris Sales from the Shelburne Ecclesia, and he was kind enough to share those slides. He's done a number of classes on Daniel that were very good. I tell you the source that I found absolutely the most help, and it's one that I didn't know about until I started reading further. Brother Thomas has written an article called The Unique Interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's Image. It's Herald of the Kingdom Age to Come, 1852, and it's the January article in response to a letter from Brother A.B. Magruder, who was living in Charlottesville. In Virginia. Anyway, so Brother Thomas writes this long article on Nebuchadnezzar's image, and it's the most detailed, best thing I've ever seen written on Nebuchadnezzar's image. Of course, Elpis Israel has wonderful information. And Eureka, but the one that I found absolutely the most help was that 1852 article. But Brother Chris Sales shared a number of slides and all the good ones he provided. The dream interpreted. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, whose brightness was excellent, and the form thereof was terrible. So, let's talk about this dream. The dream. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver. I bet the young here know that, about Nebuchadnezzar's image. His, we know about the belly and the thighs, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Tomorrow we'll talk more about the clay, because the clay, to me, is one of the most interesting parts. So we know somewhat of the this first one. Thou, O King, art a King of kings. This head of gold, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, silver kingdom, and another kingdom of brass. Why is another kingdom inferior? Now think about in what sense it was inferior. The empire lasted long. He could issue a decree and wipe it away. What's noteworthy about the law of the Medes and Persians? It altereth not. Once a decree was given, the king couldn't change the decree. He did not have the power to do so. Nebuchadnezzar could change his mind anytime he wanted, and he did. Let's talk about the kingdom of God on earth. The stone, we'll speak more of the stone power tomorrow. The stone. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, what all that was involved. And the stone smote the image. And the stone became a great mountain and of Israel. Gigantic image that on the mountains of Israel are we? It's symbolism of us, some power that's going to be the land of Israel. And the stone power of Christ and the saints will strike this image on the feet, and the destruction will begin. Whoops. So the interpretation is given. Daniel 2:44. In the days of these, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's our hope. That's our hope. The God of heaven is going to set up this kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So Daniel 2 reveals world history. We have the head of gold. These are approximate dates. I told you slides from Chris. Brother Chris Sales, this is one that came from him. We don't want to quibble with dates, because you're going to get different dates from different people. But these, all of these dates are going to be approximate. So the head of gold is Babylon, and those are approximate dates. And that's basically the Babylonian Empire. That's a approximate, I mean, you'll get different interpretations, but there's approximate dates in the territory that's involved. Breast of arm and of breast and arms of silver. Medo-Persian Empire, approximate dates, and there's the territory. Medo-Persian Empire. So it's larger. See, the area is larger. It's longer. It's a more years involved. Belly and thighs of brass. Greece. These are approximate dates: 331-168 BC. It's the Greek Empire. Then we have the legs of iron. Rome. And there's the Roman Empire. So this is what we would call the history part of the image of Daniel chapter 2. This would be the past history. And this is the one that intrigues us early as we learn the truth. But it still intrigues us because Nebuchadnezzar and all who had ears to hear would learn what Yahweh had in store for the earth. That He truly rules in the affairs of mankind. He setteth up kings and He taketh away kingdoms. Feet of iron and clay. Feet of iron and clay. Here we've said modern Europe. It's the EU and beyond, because we don't know how far the EU is going to expand. But this is what we do know. We know that there are two legs, and it's going to have a western part and an eastern part. And so we don't know how far eastward the European Union is going to extend. But we do know that it includes what we would call Europe. It includes many of those areas that are in the European Union, and some of those members are going to change. As we know, we're expecting Britain to drop out. In the future, God's kingdom on earth. And that's what we're anticipating and are hoping for, God's kingdom on earth. Here's some interesting facts. We'll just shoot them up here. Babylon collected gold. The Persians collected silver. Isn't that interesting? Gold, golden head, Babylon collected gold. Persians were known for silver. Whoops. Romans worship the god of iron. The iron hand of Rome was known. Body parts of the... I keep pushing the wrong button. Body parts of the image. Two arms, the Medes and the Persians. Two legs, Rome divided into Eastern and Western Empire. Here's a quote from historian Gibbon. The Roman Republic, sometimes vanquished in battle, always victorious in war, advanced with rapid steps to the Euphrates, to the Danube, to the Rhine, and the ocean. And the images of gold or silver or brass that might serve to represent the nations or their kings were successively broken by the iron monarchy of Rome. Now, isn't that interesting that a secular historian uses the language, the very language of Daniel chapter 2? I think you'll find that in Brother Mansfield's book. So the continuous historic interpretation is one that Christadelphians have believed in since Brother Thomas. It's an unbroken from Babylon brought this head of gold to Christ's return. Thou sawest till a stone cut out without hands. There's no gap. It's a monstrous image. So you can see why Nebuchadnezzar would be, with that image in his head, would be terrified and would want to know what it meant. You know, and all of us have been privileged to understand what it has meant in terms of history and what it's going to mean in the future. Because in the latter days, that monster power will be assembled again. And we know it's going to happen. some key things that we can understand about Bible prophecy from Daniel 2. All parts of the image are destroyed. Something wrong, iron remains until by the kingdom of God. All of that is revealed in Daniel 2. Here's one of my favorite quotes from Exposition of Daniel. For those of you with mathematical minds, Nebuchadnezzar's image equals the nations under the king of the north. I mean, they are one and the same. It is impossible that Nebuchadnezzar's image can represent any other imperial confederacy of nation than that under the king of the north in the time of the end. So they are one and the same. So the image will stand up. This is another quote from Brother Thomas. The image was presented to the mind of the king of Babylon, not so much to represent a succession of empires as to exhibit the catastrophe which should usher in the kingdom of God. And that's a quote from Malthus Israel, and I'm sure that we've all read that. So the image will stand up. I just thought it was, I thought that the the kids would enjoy, the younger ones would enjoy watching Nebuchadnezzar's image stand up. I know I enjoyed it. We're talking literally about a huge power, a power greater than anything this earth has ever seen, standing upon the mountains of Israel. So Daniel 2 reveals world history, and we want to summarize this now. So this head of gold represents Babylon, and beast of breast of iron, breast and arms of silver represent the Medo-Persian Empire. Now we're ushering in Daniel chapter 7 here, aren't we? And I don't want Brother Mac to get too nervous thinking I'm going to do Daniel 7 tonight. But we want to show the connection, because there's a lot of connections between Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. But Daniel 2 introduces us to a lot of the things that we're going to be considering this week. Daniel 2 unlocks Daniel 7. So we have the image, Nebuchadnezzar's image. We have the stone cut out without hands that strikes the image on the feet. And we have the lion of Daniel 7, the bear of Daniel 7, the leopard of Daniel 7, the fourth beast. That's the king that saw these great images. And we have this fourth beast. Now, we'll just say this. If you look at Daniel 7, verse 8, this is the little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Now, we have two little horns to talk about. And this week, and Brother Mac will deal with this little horn, this papal power. We've not said much about the papal power here, this ecclesiastical power, but we'll see that when this image stands up, when this confederacy of nations stands up, we'll see the power of Gog behind that. the Russian Gogian power, but we'll also witness and see the power of the Pope working behind the scenes, and sometimes not even behind the scenes. But nothing happens in Europe, or indeed probably not many other places, that the Pope's hand is not somewhere involved. And I just use the Catholic system. It's not always literally the Pope. This is a quote from Brother Don Peterson, The Milestones, 2003. I find the milestones always exciting. I look forward to getting them every year. I know some of you get the milestone snippets a couple times a week. But this is an exciting quote. We are witnessing the beginning of the standing up of Nebuchadnezzar's image upon its two feet as Russia and Europe bind themselves together. One thing that unites them is their distrust of Israel and America. It will lead them to take mutual actions against Israel. They will join forces to come upon the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 38. See, it's hard to talk about Daniel chapter without talking about Ezekiel 38 and without talking about Habakkuk chapter 2 and Joel and many other chapters. But we want to conclude tonight with this quote. The final exhortation from the Master, and this is in Mark chapter 13, verses 35 and 37. You can read along in your Bibles as I read this. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight. Morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what say I unto you? I say unto all, watch.